about 30 years ago, leaders in China already came to the conclusion that without reform, without economic development, China will no longer be a great nation, will even face danger from competition from outside China. So very early on, our leaders realized that we have to do something in order to promote China's economic development. And economic development is the key to all other aspects of social and political development.
Maybe discussing complex issues is too boring for you, dear Sparrow. After all, you've been living for years free of all attachment. I've noticed that in the way you pick at grain. I've thought to myself, how can such concepts and expressions of a nation's fateful events be interesting for a restless bird like you? I still believe that in all your impatience you are capable of reading my letters and making sense out of the many realities, those that have affected the lives of over 1,300,000,000 human beings.
以前我们前30年, 也就是从49年一直到 七八年这一段时间里头，我们的经济增长只有 6%， 而现在我们这30年来，从1978年到现在的2008年的30年，我们的经济增长大概有 9.6%， 比过去提高了差不多1/3。那么增长速度很快，人民生活水平也提高得很快，城市的面貌也发生了很大的变化，国际上的地位和我们国在国际上的，比如说我们的 经济总量和我们的人均收入水平都得到了大幅的提高。这种提高，这种变化，主要来自于我们的这个经济体制啊，由过去的计划经济体制，改变成了一种，就是我们现在世界上大家各个国家都采用的市场经济体制。
Since 1978, China adopted the policy of reform and opening up to the outside world. Since 1978, the China's foreign trade has developed in a very rapid speed. In the ranking of China's foreign trade among the major trading partners of the world rose from the 34th place to the third place in 2007. Among that, China's ranking of export among the major exporting partners has risen from 34 to the second places in the world.
Today, the symbols of development can be seen throughout the country. China's economy, in the course of the reforms era and open doors policy, has been able to take enormous strides in terms of achievements. But this progress has aroused sensitivities both in the domestic and foreign policy domains. At one time, Napoleon described China as a sleeping dragon, a dragon that, according to him, was never to be awakened. But it seems like at present, this yellow dragon has woken up, and as a natural result has upset the sleep of many traditional players of the international system, such as the US and European states.
I think before reform, China was a closed economy. It's an internal operation, not open. The import, export were very small. No foreign investment in China. After reform, on the one hand, China introduced more and more foreign investors to do business in China. So today, many multinational companies have their branches, their businesses in China.
We have also achieved tremendous social and economic progress in the past few decades, especially since we adopted our reform and opening policy in 1978. And in the past 30 years, China's GDP has been growing at about 9.6% every year.
The open door policies, as a bilateral relationship with foreign investors, especially Western ones, has provided the opportunity to freely invest in China's vast resources. On the one hand, it offers cheap labor and inexpensive production and exportation resources, and on the other, it enjoys an enormous consumer market with over 1,300,000,000 people hungry to devour any potential new product. When world investors think of China, they count on this huge population. For instance, investors say if they can persuade only 10% of this tremendous population to try a brand of chewing gum, it means they have ensured a sale of 130 million units per day. There are other examples too. As if only 30% of people turn to Western lifestyles and become a daily consumer of soft drinks like Coca-Cola or Pepsi, these companies will have a guaranteed sale of some 400 million cans or bottles a day. But this isn't the whole reality, as more production needs more raw material and additional resources and greater energy consumption as well.
My view is that this trend will continue for some time. That is, the China's economic growth will keep on demanding more and more energy, and therefore more and more crude oil. And therefore, the crude oil price in the world will continue to be high for a long period of time. So this is true. This is, I fully recognize this one.
中国现在没有办法。不得不 要发展核能源，因为现在核能源啊已经是发达国家使用的一个越来越多的一个能源的办法了。但是核能源确实是太危险了，而且它跟中国要跟一个发展一个国家的技术水平要有关，所以中国在核能源的发展上相对是比较慎重。比较慢，它要比，总的来说，它要比日本或者比欧美其他国家特别要慢得多。
After 3 decades of political economic reform, Chinese politicians and experts are now contemplating new challenges ahead. Such challenges as the energy crisis.Social problems, environmental pollution, urban population density, and traffic congestion, every one of which can prove a major hindrance before rapid development process.
Meanwhile, in the Chinese economy, there are already strong opinions and also in some cases consensus that China needs to push aggressively in technology progress and also in making its economic structural change, a structural adjustment, in order to reduce its pace for energy demand, and therefore to make the economy more and more efficient in its energy consumption. So I'm a firm believer that technology in China and also the market mechanism in China will reduce China's demand for energy in the long run.
My personal view is that I think the reform that opened up truly restructured the Chinese political and economic system. Thus, I think a lot of vitalities and a creation from the Chinese people also have been, you know, greatly mobilized. Then I think that China also introduced the market economy and make the Chinese economic, you know, the performance so better based on the individualistic competition, free and economic, you know, the competition. And most importantly, we absorbed a lot of foreign investment. So such a foreign investment coming to China with the new technology, with a lot of know-how on how to promote China's goods around the world.
Ever since Nixon visited China for the first time and was taken aback by the country's immense population and tremendous natural resources, the idea of conquering the enormous consumer markets of that country has been a constant dream of American entrepreneurs. When the policy of open doors was implemented, in a short time, billions of dollars in investment poured into China from the West and Japan. Nowadays in China, Western capital is active everywhere. No doubt, the existence of this huge amount of Western investment in China can have a deep impact on the country's social and governance structures. The signs of this effect are observable in mutual ties and ensuring interactions.
I think that China's relationship with the West, particularly with the United States, is a very influential to the China's economic growth and the development in the past 3 decades. Such an influence from the West is also complicated. But at the beginning, we make up our mind to open that. It is some kind of, we say, risky, because if China could not just open up based on the timetable sets on our own, then the Chinese economy probably will be drowned, will be overwhelmed by the Western capitals and Western force. So I think the Chinese government has been very careful about how to keep the balance between open up to the West and simultaneously just keep the monopoly of the China's own economic strategy. Such a balance is always at the top in order to just make good use of the investment, technology, and management know-how from the West. At the same time, also could steer the course of China's economy by our own.
In my first letter, dear Sparrow, I've tried to write you about various aspects of current events in China, but this short opportunity isn't enough to tell you everything. With a look at the dimensions of foreign contribution to China's development over the past 30 years, you realize the enormous presence of foreigners in this country. Of course, I too am an alien here. However, my presence here hasn't been for business or trade. But for me, China is an ancient land filled with mysteries and wonders, which have been adversely affected by the vortex of political and economic transformations in a bid to assume a new identity. I would like to ask you to continue accompanying me in my letters so that I can reveal more untold stories about this new identity and those lost traditions. Yours truly, Lara.